And this is Danny Pike here, Monday afternoon, and it's time for our sound advice today. Different one every day, just trying to be real world useful to you with our sound advice each day. Today we're talking tech, and we've got the gadget detective Fevzi Turkap on hand to talk about a couple of bits of tech, and also some boring stuff. Privacy campaign launched after WhatsApp is changing its T's and C's. Fevzi, hi, good afternoon to you.
Hello there.
I guess it's a bit dull, but it's also kind of important as well. So we'll get to that in a sec. Let's talk about toys, first of all. What are you talking to us about today?
Okay, so we've got two gadgets this week. One of them is called the Soundcore Motion Boom. It's an outdoor Bluetooth speaker. Why would you cover yet another speaker? This is probably the best Bluetooth speaker I've seen, certainly under £100. As I say, it's called the Motion Boom. It's got a number of special features. So designed for outdoors. First thing about it is if you take it on a trip, it'll last 24 hours on a single charge. And then when you need to recharge it from dead, you can recharge it in as little as 4 hours. It's completely waterproof. In fact, it floats. If you throw it into a lake, it will go to the bottom, it will come up to the top, and it will still be playing, which is kind of nice.
Have you tried that yet? Stick it in your pool, Fevzi.
Not with it. No, I don't have a pool, but I did accidentally drop another of these units from the same company, Soundcore, into my bath. I was startled by a spider, and I accidentally knocked another one of their waterproof speakers into the bath, and it carried on playing as I scrambled out looking for the spider. So yeah, you know, I haven't actually doused this one, but I've no doubt that it's
entertainment for the fishes. Lovely.
Yeah, well, there were not any fishes in the bath, but yeah, fine. It's got a very good sound as well. I mean, it's very, you know, although it's an outdoor speaker, there's no reason why you couldn't use it indoors, and it will fill an average-sized room with sound quite comfortably. It's got a very large built-in battery, and the nice thing about that is you can actually use it to charge up other devices. So, you know, like you get these little power pack batteries that you can use. Well, it's got a 10,000 milliamp hour battery in it, which is why it can go 24 hours on single charge. But if you need it to, you can charge your phone and your tablet and other devices from this without being anywhere near a power point. The sound is pretty big for a battery powered device. It's 30 watts. Bluetooth 5, which is the latest version of Bluetooth, means that you get a better range and you don't get that sort of stuttering effect and so forth. If you happen to have two of these units, and I haven't had a chance to test this yet, so I intend to get a second one and test it, but because these are stereo units, but if you have a second one, each unit becomes a left or right channel of a stereo pair. So you can get true stereo separation and obviously twice the volume as well. Built-in carry handle, charges with USB-C. It's an excellent device. This price is just a shade under £90. It's often on sale for just under £80. 4.5 stars out of 5 because of the sound quality and the features that make it particularly good for outdoor use.
Yeah, a bit of waterproof is very good for that. So maybe have beach trips and things like that. Okay, so that's a speaker. Now this next one sounds dead fancy. Projector.
Yeah, but it's not a boring projector. It's got a few tricks up its sleeve. So this is called the Anker Nebula Solar, and I thought first when it said solar that it was solar powered, but it's actually not. It's a very stylish unit. It looks like, for those that know, it looks like an Apple Mac Mini in terms of size and dimensions. It's a very stylish all white unit. In terms of specifications, it can throw an image from, say, 3 meters. You can throw an image of about 120-inch diagonal, which is huge compared to any TV that you normally have in your home. It's got full 1080p high definition. That means it's got 1080 horizontal lines of resolution, which is full HD. It's bright, which is good, because a lot of slightly less good projectors, they do the job. They've got the specs, but you really have to watch them in the dark. Whereas this one, any projector looks better in a dimly lit room, but in the case of this one, it will do a good job in daylight as well. It's got built-in speakers, so you don't have to attach it to speakers, and you can, in fact, you can just use it as a Bluetooth speaker if you want to, or it can connect to external speakers. But the really special thing about this is that a normal projector, you have to connect a video source to it, and you can do that. You can you know, stream wirelessly from your phone or from your tablet. You can plug in a USB stick. You can plug in one of those little Apple Fire sticks into it and use that as a source. But it's got Android 9 built into it, Android TV version 9, which means it's got the same gubbins as a smartphone, you know, an Android smartphone. Uh-huh. And it means that you can download any of 5,000 apps. So you can download the YouTube app or the Amazon Prime app or the Hulu app or the Netflix app. And it, because it's got Wi-Fi built into it, you don't actually have to connect it to a source. It can be the source itself. Just connect direct to Wi-Fi, and anything that you could get on a Android smartphone, pretty much, you can get on this device as well. It's got the smarts built into it. So all in all, it's a very clever thing. As I say, it can also mirror. So if you've got either an Apple smartphone or an Android smartphone, you can wirelessly cast whatever's on the small screen of your device onto the big projected screen. And you don't have to have 120 meters. If you put the device closer to the wall or the projection surface, then it will be smaller and brighter. So that's the thing, you know, size opposite the brightness. But this is great for, you know, if you want to just have a sort of sports night in the garden or film night in the garden, you can just go and sort of put it up against the, you know, the wall of the house or the garage or whatever surface you've got access to, and do it that way. I have known people to actually watch TV in bed by projecting using one of these types of devices straight up onto the ceiling.
That is lazy. You don't even have to sit up.
Yeah, but do you know what? You know, I hate having a crook neck when I'm watching TV in bed. And when I turn over, I can't see the TV, right? So, but when it's up on, you know, you can just project it onto the ceiling. It's kind of luxuriant.
That's not a bad point. Not a bad point. Okay. That's the Nebula Solar Projector. And then what's going on with WhatsApp? What do we need to know if we are WhatsApp messengers, Fevzi?
Well, if you're users of WhatsApp, you need to know that you have no privacy, really. Okay, so that's, don't expect to have privacy if you use WhatsApp. WhatsApp is owned by Facebook. Facebook own Facebook, Instagram, and the WhatsApp thing. All of those services have a business model that's predicated on monetizing your data. So mm-hmm. as you use the service, in quotes, for free, you're providing them free of charge with all your information, which they then use to turn into cash. So don't be thinking it's free. Now, WhatsApp changed their terms and conditions. They tried to change them last year and there was a backlash. The backlash continued into this year. And now WhatsApp are trying to deflect away from that and make themselves look like they are guardians of our privacy by criticizing our government and other governments for demanding an end to strong encryption. So encryption is the way in which you scramble messages as they fly from one device to another. The government, our government, other governments don't really like this form of encryption because it means when they get a criminal's device, they can't necessarily see the contents of it. Sure. So they want tech companies like Apple and Google and so forth, and of course WhatsApp, to provide a backdoor effectively to weaken the encryption. And WhatsApp are saying, and they're right about this, they're saying that's bad news, because if you weaken the encryption so that governments can get into it, you weaken it for everyone, and it means that none of us as individuals and as businesses and our corporations and our governments, none of us can have secure communication anymore. Unfortunately, encrypted communication for criminals is the price that we pay for our freedom. And even if governments forced legitimate apps like WhatsApp and Telegram and FaceTime and all of those things, if they force them to provide a backdoor, all it would do is weaken the encryption for the citizen and businesses, but criminals would just use, you know, other apps. We saw in the news recently that the FBI had scammed criminals by having an encrypted app that they owned themselves. So we already see that criminals of the underworld use sort of underground apps anyway. So this wouldn't solve the problem. So on the one hand, WhatsApp and by extension Facebook is correct in saying the governments have got this wrong. It's quite ignorant of government ministers to demand this. It shows that they really don't understand the underlying technology. But that is a completely different thing. And this is just deflection by WhatsApp. Because
How do you think that's going to play out? Do you think the global social media companies will win their battle over a bunch of individual governments?
It's really hard to say because the individual governments are getting together. I hope in this case that the social media companies can make the case and are persuasive, but it's kind of a finessed argument. You know, I've had to sort of spend a couple of minutes just sort of outlining the basics of it. But the point of the reason why people are upset with WhatsApp is not because of anything that the government is doing or weakening encryption. It's because of the information that WhatsApp increasingly shares with Facebook and the way that Facebook uses this information. If you need a legal change, what it is you start with the premise that we own our data as individuals. We own our data. That's the starting position, not the companies own the data and have access to the data that we shared. They should not know where we are, who we talk to, and what we say. This is privacy, and societies cannot exist, democracies cannot exist without the ability of individuals to communicate freely.
Okay, I suppose we could just ring up our friends instead, couldn't we, rather than use a free messaging app?
Could do, but that's, you know, it used to be that our protection against being listened in on was that there aren't so many more of us than there are them, they wouldn't have time to listen to us all. But now with AI systems, artificial intelligence systems, they can not only record what we're saying, but the machine can understand it. And if the machine is at all worried about what it's hearing, then it can flag it for a human intervention. And by that method, it is completely possible to listen to every conversation on the BT network and all the mobile phone networks as well.
All right, Fevzi, thanks. Leave us with that thought. Many thanks for your time. Fevzi there, the Gadget Detective. He's on social media, on Twitter, @GadgetDetective. So any questions you have for him, you can ask him on there as well.